This is the 919 Beer Podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Now, here are your hosts for the 919 Beer Podcast, Joe Ovius, Adam Eschbaugh, and Wayne Holt.
It's the 919 Beer Podcast. Joe Ovius from 99.9 The Fan in Raleigh, North Carolina. Adam Eschbaugh is here. Wayne Holt's turn to have the week off.
So, if I have a week off or if Wayne has a week off,
yeah,
we still move on. If you have a week off, it proves detrimental to the viability of the podcast.
I can give you guys the podcast equipment.
I don't trust either of us. That's for me and for Wayne. I don't trust either of us to know how any of this stuff works.
So we have shifted, if you're just checking us out for the first time in a while, we have shifted to going to brewery, because I have this podcast equipment
that
I had the company invested in. We're putting to work right now. So rather than
content.
Than the janky FaceTime calls that we were doing, we've been going to brewery. And today we're at Crank Arm in downtown Raleigh.
Adam socially Eckhart, distanced, of course.
So, we have a very big table. Adam Eckhart is let us hang out today and providing us with tasty, tasty beers. It's been a while, Adam. What's up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're good.
It's been a lifetime, right?
It has, yeah. And that was just last week.
Somebody asked me.
We laughed because we're tired of crying.
In COVID months, it's been years.
Well, it's funny you mention that because somebody on Twitter asked me. They're coming off deployment, and they're like, because of social media, he's able to keep up with what's been going on sports-wise. But he's like, 15 years ago, I had no idea what's going on. What do you think the last 9 months have been? I'm like, dude, the last 2 weeks feels like 9 months. I don't know what day it is. And it's only going to get more interesting with Virtual Academy and all that fun stuff. So I guess we can start there. I feel like every business has gone through, in the last 4 months, 8 different shifts. I know I've dealt with that on Sports Talk.
Yeah.
And we're about to enter into another shift as sports is starting to come back.
Sports in the bubble.
It's bubble life, right? So let's walk through March through today. Like, how many iterations of Crank Arm have there been in the last 4 months?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, we had heard news of a potential shutdown in March, decided to have a partners meeting on Monday. It was either Tuesday or Wednesday it all dropped, and that was it.
Yeah.
So that first pivot was, okay, what are we going to do? What can we do? Are we deemed essential? We've been told we're deemed essential on a federal level. Are we deemed essential on a state level? Okay, we're essential. What's that mean? What can we do? Can we be open? No, we can't. All right, everyone's laid off, including ourselves. We're just here to keep the business.
The work doesn't stop, though.
No, the work did not stop. So basically, we went from a staff of 25 to a staff of 0, and Mike and I doing everything. So Mike, my business partner, our head brewer, was brewing the beer. We were taking turns with shifts of doing beer to go, and we did a quick test and figured out that you can use tea jugs from local purveyor and put beer in tea jugs, and if you drink it quick and you don't let it see the sun, it'll be fresh for a day or two, and it gets the beer out the door.
All right.
Hey man, half gallon milk jugs go a long way with some when you're in a pinch and you're out of growlers.
So we pivoted really quick to do that, and decided to start running can runs as fast as we possibly could, get the canning company in here and brewing beer. Probably 2 weeks into everything, we brewed our first batch of beer after all this to start getting the cans going, and we saw a huge spike in, you know, the places that could be open, bottle shops and grocery.
Okay.
And thank goodness we were diversified. You know, we have a pretty good mix of both in-house and out-of-house, and I feel, you know, thank our lucky stars that we had placements in grocery stores. Bottle shops were supportive of local things as well, with restaurants still being closed and for takeout only.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because the shift before all of this happened, at least the impression that I had, was that breweries were refocusing on their sites, their on-site sales.
Absolutely.
Because supermarkets have become so flooded.
Yeah.
Bottle shops are flooded. Where are you going to make the most amount of money? It's providing an experience at your spot and going direct sales, so to speak, right? But you mentioned you were diversified enough, so it's in a weird sort of way. It was good to yeah. be focused on other things rather
than
just
be here. Can't lie when you say
here.
That like, the tap room is where everyone makes the, made their most
money.
That's
where you make your money,
absolutely.
Right.
But at the same time, you know, to hedge your bets and to also get the brand out, you yeah. should have these relationships. And that's what I'd say is that it was so important was that we had established relationships on a multiple levels and had, you know, kept those paths open, whether or not they were huge revenue or a huge amount of volume, they were there. And so the demand went up because obviously consumers couldn't, you know, folks that loved craft beer couldn't come to see us or lived too far away,
yeah,
couldn't come
yeah.
down to get a growler from yeah. us. And so with these this being spread out and doing these things and having these relationships, the demand went up. You know, we saw our packaged beer game go up 400%. And so...
Wow.
Which is a lot, but the profit margins go down from a standpoint yeah. of a business. And, you know, we're paying for this really snazzy, awesome tap room in downtown Raleigh at a super high premium. And so when you're selling things out the door... In that manner, it makes it a little painful because we're not out in a suburban area where maybe the square footage doesn't cost as much. So,
yeah.
And that still hurts. We're, you know, as we hope that things will turn around, you know, we'll be able to do a little better.
Wait,
but we're
so are you saying that over the years, the rent that the old white collar crime was paying in this building versus where downtown is today with all the developments a little bit different?
Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. No. You know, anytime. I love everyone that comes in the door. Anytime someone's shocked by a price of a beer on the board, I'll gladly turn over my books and let them see what rent costs.
It's all factored in.
Yeah.
It's all factored in, man.
Yeah. Why is to-go beer more less expensive? It's like because you're not paying for the rent when your
right.
butt's in the seat. That's
right.
why. That costs us.
I was curious, though, with to get it back to the business changes of what you guys have been doing. You know, one of the early things that Crank Arm was known for was you got the rickshaw business, and you would deliver beer as needed, right?
Yeah.
Did that see an uptick in people? I mean, because there's more people living downtown now with these condos.
We closed the rickshaw business 2 years ago.
Okay, so you didn't think about firing that back up to just, like, deliver stuff into the downtown?
Time right now is of the essence, especially
yeah.
when Mike and I were doing, you know, early on the first – month and a half, 45 days, it was just he and I.
Yeah.
So he'd brew, watch the front door, take to-go orders.
Yeah.
I would go out and deliver beer.
You didn't have bodies.
Yep.
Yeah.
And back and forth. So we had to be really efficient with our schedules, figure out, okay, well, I need to brew on this day. Okay, well, I need to go out and
gotcha.
Do deliveries and sales calls. All right, you can cover the tap room that day. Okay, you get Sundays off. All right, we're going to close Monday so we can have a day off.
Mm-hmm.
XYZ needs to happen. So we had to be very efficient with all that. And, you know, one of the early goals was to deliver by rickshaw, but what we found really quickly was demand was exceeding what we could do on that.
Okay.
And efficiency-wise, and just, you
right.
know, the amount of beer that needs to go out the
it
door.
It was a fun idea.
It was. And, you know, you hope that you could get to the point to do some of that again or not. But what we sort of realized is that was a lofty goal that our demand exceeded
gotcha.
Pretty quickly.
So let's get out of the early days of the shutdown.
Yep.
You made that transition.
Yep.
You pivoted that first time. We're weeks into this, and then suddenly we get the green light to say, okay, brewery tap rooms can open.
Yep.
At limited capacity. What was that shift like then?
It was exciting and stressful at the same time.
Right? Wasn't it like this feeling of like, yes, we can. Crap, there's a whole new level of work that we need to put into this thing.
Yeah, once we got
before
the green light,
we can even open.
Yes. Yeah, so,
which was mind-boggling to me how people could just open up. Like, all right, they said we could open.
Yeah.
There's a lot of issues that we
yeah,
had to take
everything
into consideration.
From staffing and, you know, if anyone hasn't been down, please come see us and you'll see that we're following CDC and Department of Health and Human Services rules. We're exceeding the measures that are asked for.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in, there's, you know, guards between you and staff.
Yeah.
Everything is socially distanced and spaced. We have a host to walk you through everything.
I was going to say, unlike some other places that I've been in, you
yeah.
have the plexiglass all across the bar.
Yeah, we don't allow bar seating. We're just making sure that our staff and our customers are protected. We're doing everything we can that everyone feels safe, you know, can enjoy our product and be as safe as possible.
You even have crank arm masks.
We have crank arm masks, yeah.
And, great. Those are great.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the things was, too, is we'd have people before the mandate for masks were out.
Yeah.
We required people to wear masks in here. It was, it didn't matter.
Did you get any pushback on that?
A little bit.
Okay.
But, you know, the thing is that this isn't about individuals. This is about society as a whole, and we're trying to protect everyone. So we went to the expense. If someone showed up without a mask, we provided them with a mask.
Okay.
You take your mask off when you sit down. Otherwise, you wear it.
Sure.
If you have a reason that you can't wear a mask, our provision is that we have beer to go for you.
Yeah.
You know, I understand that people have health concerns of maybe they can't wear a mask. Unfortunately, we're trying to protect everyone, not just that individual. So if you can't wear a mask, then we're asking that you take our beer to go.
So you actually stay outside.
No, you can't come
purchase
in.
It. You can't come in. That's what I'm saying. You actually stay outside to purchase
yep.
beer to go.
Correct. Yeah, we're taking this all very seriously. Like I said, you know, the staff is, you know, has the most exposure of anyone. They're seeing
absolutely.
More people than anyone else. We want to make sure they feel safe and that they are safe.
Yeah.
So that's sort of our philosophy from the get-go. I state, you know, have been having panic attacks every night at about between 12 and 2 since this all started, and still happens, you know, wake up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And wrote the guidelines, the protocol that we've slightly modified, but in general everything stayed the same, because everything that now is required at a state level, we already had in place
yeah.
from day one. So we waited a week before we opened up,
mm-hmm.
just sort of see. I had my idea when we found out we could open, and of what we needed to do, sort of saw best practices, and talked to other folks that had opened already. Hey, what's working for you? What's not? You know, some people we haven't been taking temperatures of people coming in. Some people were saying that. I felt like that was a little too invasive. We're just asking people to practice, you know, hey, look, if you don't feel well, just don't come out. So
yeah.
That's just sort of where we are now. I mean, we're selling a lot of beer out to, like, our partners outside. Inside, we're you know, maintaining the 50% capacity. On the weekends, there's a wait, but with being so hot, people just find out when we're at capacity. They just sort of roll on. We're hoping
yeah.
that, like, as time goes by and gets a little cooler out, people might wait a little bit.
Well, let's talk about that. We'll get to off-premise stuff, because
yeah.
that's a whole
sure.
additional part of this conversation. But your space has been a space since day one, since you guys opened, that is a... I mean, on-premise has always been the thing for you guys. You
yeah.
recently started canning, what, a year and a half ago, something like
it's
that?
It's 2 years ago, April.
Okay. So just over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. But before that, for the first almost 5 years...
Draft only.
It was draft only.
Limited bottle releases.
This
very
was the place...
Yeah, you had
this
very
was the,
limited, yeah.
Yeah, this was the place to be. Like, you would come here.
Yeah.
And...
It was a starting off point for some people, or where you ended.
Yeah.
If you were going to be hanging out downtown, right.
Yeah, and like... You had a not I don't want to say tiny patio.
You know what? Adam's trying to sugarcoat this. You didn't have an outdoor space.
You really
yeah,
didn't.
You
have
were
much.
Never. You were
like,
never.
You
know,
had like four picnic
had,
tables.
You had,
yeah,
you had like two. You had like two tables out there essentially.
Right.
And I would see people occasionally hanging out, but for the most part, you have been in an indoor type space.
Well, it yeah. depends. It's weather dependent, right? In the
absolutely.
South, so spring and
absolutely.
Fall. The patio slammed, you
okay.
know, 100 bodies out there
okay.
because there's no limit on it.
So,
but during the middle of the summer, you know, with no shade, whatnot, we, you know, it's a 30 by 30 space, 1,000 square feet.
You okay. have been able to extend into the street a little bit.
Yeah, so the city of Raleigh has a new program that lets you take over sidewalks with ADA compliance.
Okay.
So you submitted through, there was no charge for it.
Yeah.
It actually is the fastest thing.
And, dude.
And no, in no way to disparage the city of Raleigh.
Of course,
no. But
it's the fastest
good
thing I've ever seen happen.
Good on them for
and I
just
think everyone
almost rubber stamping that for the
much.
People who did the right thing.
Yeah, and so we were not a lot of people taking advantage of it yet. Actually, about five people, as far as I know, have taken advantage of it.
Yeah,
but
really
out of necessity. So it doubled our patio space, and we
sure.
put out the tents to keep the sun down.
Okay.
We tried some fans last weekend, but with it being 100 with 100%
dude,
humidity
gross
outside.
Out.
It's a
it's gross.
Yeah, it becomes a convection oven out
yeah.
there. So we just left the fans inside for now.
Okay.
So yeah, there's increase. If you don't feel comfortable sitting inside, there's increased capacity outside. Still social distancing maintained.
Yeah.
We're asking everyone to remain seated, but we have a little more space out there as well. So
I'm in that boat. I'm still not comfortable. Like this aside, because it's the three of us
yeah.
inside. I'm not too worried about it. And same with being at work at the radio station. I'm inside with a very select group of people.
Sure.
But I am not interested in being inside yet when it comes
yeah.
to hanging out with a bunch of other people. I got no problems being outside
yeah.
because I think the outdoor situation has actually been handled pretty, pretty well.
Yeah.
I mean, just up the street, I'm noticing a bunch of benches all socially distanced apart. We were at Mason Jar a couple weeks back for Brownlow's birthday, it was the same thing. It's like, you guys are socially distanced enough all outside that I don't worry about that kind of stuff. Yeah. It makes total sense to me. So it's good that you, that the city of Raleigh is at least accommodating that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it can be kind of pains to get things through.
Yeah.
You have the door open right now.
Yep.
You keeping it open?
Yeah.
Like, no matter what?
Pretty much.
Cool. Is your over... You've got this awesome overhead door, too. Does that stay closed?
If we open that up on a 95-degree day, it'd be 90 degrees.
Well, that's what I was curious about.
So the door we're keeping open, less contact touching the door. Yep, and it just also says, hey, we're open.
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah, because you can't do that at your spot.
We got a big old overhead door.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but it's always got to be open in order to access the bar.
No. We have doors
inside. Do you close it?
Yeah.
You actually close it on a day today?
Yeah, when it's, like, super hot, have music going on on the patio, we'll keep it closed to keep it separate. But, you know... Airflow, that stuff's important right now. We want people to feel as safe as possible. Adam and I are on the same page on this. It's just nice to hear these measures that are being taken and how people are doing things a little bit differently to suit their place. The crappy part is that taproom sales aren't what they were.
Correct.
But you guys are doing everything the right way. And I think in time that's going to prove... to be the best thing possible. And you guys are going to not just, I don't think you're going to gain fans, but you're going to just continue to reinforce that loyalty that your people have. And they're going to appreciate that you're doing everything to keep them safe. Now, what you have done to try to compensate for that, and we touched on a little bit earlier, is your packaging.
Yeah.
You know, when you were, quote, laid off, when you guys were shut down, still in here working tirelessly every day, you had to come up with a plan. To get beer in package.
Yeah.
What was that like, and how has that basically taken over?
So what we realized is that we've always seen uptick when we introduce a new product, or we were looking at products or beer. Let's call it beer. It's beer. I mean, it's a product that we sell, but it's beer. We love a beer. What beers were really selling, what we were seeing sell on market, the fastest.
Yeah.
And so one of those... beers that we were seeing a need for and we're going to release again was we've seen Road Hazard, our hazy IPA, has absolutely dominated our portfolio. We thought White Wall, with the two Great American Beer Festival medals, being so crushable, easy to drink, would dominate the market. It does well.
Give me a White Wall any day.
Oh, I mean, that was the first thing we asked for.
No, not throwing shade on Road Hazard.
No.
White Wall's my beer
but
here.
But the trend
right now is very hazy, and then Session IPAs. So we had released Paceline, our Session IPA, did pretty good. Well, then we did Huck It All, what we were calling our hazy pale ale. We pivoted on the marketing and called it what it was. It was a hazy Session IPA.
Sure.
Flew. So we were just sort of watching what's moving, what's not.
I would argue, and I think you'd probably agree with me, so I wouldn't argue, but I would throw the point out there. If you call White Wall a hazy session Citra IPA.
Oh, it's, yeah.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
it would go nuts.
I know. It's just hard to call something like that because two Great American Beer Festival medals.
But you know what
style.
I'm saying? You taste it. You're like, this beer is really hopped. It's exactly what I want, especially on a hot day.
Well, and I can give you another example of how marketing works is... Last year, we released Skid Lid in a refrigeration-only sale because we didn't have it shelf-stable. This year, we've been able to shelf-stabilize it. But we changed the name of the can. We started thinking about descriptors that this is marketing. I'm sorry if this is too
dirty. No, these are fun conversations. Yeah, everybody loves these.
Okay, good.
Because I like them.
Yeah, so for me, what last year we called Skid Lid, which is a sour pale ale with Citra hops and tangerine. Well, we did two modifications. One was a marketing and one was a flavor profile thing. One, we dropped the bitterness. Most folks don't want bitterness.
Yeah.
So we dropped the bitterness down to like 16 IBU, so it's you can't taste the bitterness at all. It's very juicy, tastes like tangerine juice that's soured in a can. All right, so what is that? It's a juicy, fruited sour. That beer... We released it last week, did double batch of it. We're almost out in cans.
Oh, wow. All right.
So marketing, a little flavor
profile
change. Same can, same logo, same everything. A little name change.
Description. Description is key.
Yeah, and same description on the can. It's
oh, really?
It's just a little, the little blurb.
I meant your marketing description.
Yeah, just the, like, the little note on the front where it says what it is. Like our bike pump, it says Bohemian Pils. We changed it from American Sour to Juicy Fruited Sour.
Juicy's that key word, man.
That key word. That pops off the can, and people are like, oh, let's go. I'm intrigued now.
Yeah. So
not so much me.
All about it. Like all new, about the juice bros. Yeah.
Juice
so
bros,
so
man.
Colors, you know, bright, bold colors. You know, the heavenly suspension. While it, in my opinion, is the best hazy we've made. You know, Galaxy, Azaka, Citra hops, all the beautiful, sexy hops that can go into a beer. But it also has this tie dye psychedelic alien angel slash Teletubbies on the front of it. My English friend was like, oh, you put Teletubbies on the bike. I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess we
did.
Yeah,
I guess
mean
you did. Yeah, I guess you kind of did. Yeah, no, I'm looking know. At it, yes.
So, hey,
wow, you really did. Yes. That purple one really, huh.
Yeah, it wasn't intentional.
Only thing, yeah, the only thing missing is a creepy baby son, and then you're good to go.
Yep, we didn't do that. We'll so anyways. So,
but yeah, your mouth is the creepy baby son, if you think about it. As you're drinking it from the can, you are the creepy baby son that they all look up to.
Okay, let's just move on. Let's just move on this one. Yeah. Let's talk about the Pilsner.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's.
I'll let you two geek out while I go refresh my meter.
Dude, I tried to refresh on this app. It won't let me do it.
Oh, well, because
I'm probably going to get a ticket.
It's because it's restricted. It's restricted to one session.
So what do I have to do?
So now when it's up, you got to go back and do it again.
How do I go back? What's that matter? I just tried to do it from here.
I don't even know. I don't know.
It's
so
an
Raleigh's
app.
Being weird.
It's a parking app.
So
they limit parking. You're only allowed to be in downtown Raleigh for 2 hours, then you must go away.
And then you got
to
go away.
Go.
No wonder your tailback skills are hurting.
No comment.
Too soon.
They want people to cycle through. Although on a day like today where there's really nobody downtown,
I get what you
really
did there.
Tickle?
You want people to cycle through at crank arm.
But I'm bum.
Hey, yeah, so I'm my time is up, so I'm going to let you guys.
My time's been up, and I've gotten restricted. So if I get a ticket, I'm just going to pass it on to Maloney and the
we'll
company.
We'll expense it.
Yeah, we'll expense that.
Well, actually, you can't because I blew all that money on those Cameo videos that I did
man.
For the marketing. So, no.
Speaking of marketing.
Yeah, so I'll be right back. You guys talk about Pilsner.
Mikey's here. Are you going to hang out with us, or do you not want to chat? You can use Joe's mic.
I'm going to go refresh.
Or Adam's mic.
So, although this might be Rona-filled, I don't know if we want to, like, you know, with the mic.
Talk with a family mic.
I was just going to say, hey.
Get a little closer.
How's it going?
Well, it
good, buddy.
It's time for Mike to come in and say, hey, because we're talking about the
The Bo Pils.
Ah.
So,
yes.
I'm on my second one because Joe forgot stuff and had to run back to the station. darn. So, bike pump Bo Pils. First of all, what is a Bohemian Pilsner? And why is yours so great? Let's talk about it.
Let me look up the BJCP guidelines now. Bohemian
like if,
Pilsner.
If, you know, because you hear Czech pills. You hear
Czech
Bohemian pills.
Bohemian,
we've got a Bavarian pills, which is slightly different, too.
To me, there's 10, 12 different Pilsners now. To me, there's American Light Pilsners. There's Bohemian Czech pills and German traditional pills like you guys are doing. To me, the Bohemian and the Czech styles are a little hoppier, definitely a little more bite on them. And I like to dry hop ours.
Yeah.
We put a little saaz in there in the dry hop, so you get a little bit of that spiciness too. So to me, it's just a little more hop forward than your malty brethren.
Sure.
Germany, yeah.
Absolutely. So sauce hops. For those sauce, sots, whatever, sauce. Whatever we want to call them.
Yeah.
S-A-A-Z.
Right. S-A-A-Z. Like, that is a very common Czech Bo Pils hop. Describe that hop for people who might not understand. Like, when they go to a bar and they're like, oh, they have a Bohemian Pilsner. Like, what do they need to expect?
To me, it's a... spicy is a hard word to define.
It's got some spice, though.
You know, like there's a little bit of that spice and herbal flavor to me. Obviously, you're not getting any of those new American hop flavors or Australian. This is very old world, old school, you know.
Slightly earthy, slight white pepper. And like herbal, a little bit of floral.
I get herbal to floral the more I drink it and my palate kind of adjusts, just like drinking a sour. Like, it your mouth doesn't just change when you drink a sour. Like any beer you're drinking over time, like you're going to pick up more and more nuances on that beer. At least I do. And like the first taste, it was sauce all day long, the spice. And then you adjust to that after a few sips and you start picking up more and more flavors. So those are the hops. That's 100% sauce hops.
Correct.
What's the malt bill look like on this?
The malt bill is 95% Pilsner malt and a little bit of Cara foam.
Okay, forehead retention. Yeah. Yep. What are you what kind of Pilsner malt are you using?
Vireman.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Adam and I were kind of talking. He was like, "All right, check with Mikey. I'm not exactly sure." So
that's what I said. I thought it was 100% Pilsner.
We love Vireman.
But yeah. What did I ask? What are you guys using for head retention for this beer? And that makes sense if you're throwing Cara foam.
How did it look?
It's great. It's beautiful and it's delicious. Now, is this going to be – so when you guys first opened several years ago, they were all ales. You didn't have time in the tanks to throw out any lagers. I remember the first lager you did, at least the first lager I remember you getting all excited about was your Oktoberfest a few years ago.
Which we will have in cans this September.
Oh, that's exciting because I won't have an Oktoberfest this year. Thank you, COVID. but we move on. But anyway, like you guys are throwing out some lagers here and there. Yeah. What's the plan with this beer? Are you going to try to keep it, or is it just kind of whenever you find time?
We're canning it again next month. This will be our third canning.
Really? Great.
So really, we really pushed, I think, more this year to keep it from about April to September.
Okay.
Try to keep it in
kind of that summertime.
Hot summer months.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of a, you know, six-month regular.
It's selfish, too. It's just so we can drink it all
Dude,
summer.
But is it?
We're doing smaller runs.
Isn't there like a fine line there because you're like, we love this beer. This is our brewer's beer.
Yeah.
And not that we don't care what people think, but we hope it really does well out there so we can keep it for ourselves, too.
Yeah.
And it's done well enough to where we, you know, we can do it more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
It's not like a Schwarz beer. Like, if our favorite style was Schwarz right now, which we love.
Tell me about
it. You can do it, like, once a year or once every couple of years, but you can't have it all summer or
no.
all winter.
No.
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 You know, tell me about it.
Lagers that work. And, yeah, well,
but that's the thing.
You couldn't justify that.
No. I mean, that's the thing. The numbers have to make it make sense. And unfortunately, like, I personally don't like hazy beers. Like, I don't like hazy IPAs. But if that's what's selling, you got to do what the market wants. Yeah.
So what are you doing, Adam?
Huh?
What are you doing to meet that demand?
Oh, the hazy stuff?
Yeah.
No, just tell them to go to Crankar.
There you go.
That's
Wayne.
Why we love him.
I feel like I have to play the role of Wayne. Be like, that's just another example for you to like put in. So my twang isn't good enough, but you gotta put an IPA on.
Oh, that was pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. I've lived here long enough. I might be able to fake it a little bit.
No, but
get that Miami out of you.
You guys have. I mean, I'm looking at your board right now, and you've got what about 14, 15 beers on tap. At all times. And what really stands out to me is many, not just several, I'd say many of these, well, not most, but many of them, Unicycle, Rickshaw, Whitewall, Motivator, like, those guys are, like, old school, like, not necessarily OGs, but, like Whitewall, Unicycle, Rickshaw, like, I remember those when you guys first opened.
Banana Seat's been on for a while, too,
Banana Seat, Reflector, yeah, like, those are all beers that are withstanding the test of time here. What are you seeing as far as kind of the progression of what you're brewing, though, and what's kind of taken off as your leader? Obviously, the hazy ones are the ones that...
So yesterday I ran a product mix for what we sold in-house because that's one of my other jobs now.
Yeah.
And
not that we're bitter about this at all.
Not bitter at all. Jeez. It's okay. Hey, you know, this is what we signed up for. Not
better,
really.
Better than nothing to do.
Correct. So when we ran the product mix, our number one seller was a sour. Our number two seller, sour. Number
is that
three,
in-house?
In-house.
Okay.
So you're looking at our board that's offered in-house.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, outside Road Hazard. 4-1 bestseller.
Okay.
No.
It's really interesting to compare to what people buy to take home and what people buy when they are out.
Yeah. So, and then in-house, then number three was our hazy IPA, the Heavenly Suspension we have on draft. So it's like sour, hazy, and then I think Unicycle, the Pilsner, White Wall was up there too. I think White Wall was there were three or four.
Okay.
So it's light, sour,
yeah,
hoppy.
Yeah.
You know, Banana Seat normally wouldn't be around this time of year, but it's an 8% Weissenbach. It's gonna make it, you know.
Oh, that beer's going to age beautifully.
Correct. It tastes amazing, but not a ton of people are drinking an 8%
Weissenbach.
You know, Imperial Amber Hefeweizen, right?
Right.
I mean, that's what a Weissenbach is, you know?
Right.
You mean they're not crushing that at the pool?
I mean, I will.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I'll take that half-gallon jug, poke a hole in the bottom, and shotgun it, guys.
Oh,
ready?
My
Let's go.
Gosh.
Cannonball!
Pull time with Adam.
Banana, have a seat.
So, Unicycle has always been your single hop series that you've rotated through. Or is that still like an on-rotation single hop?
We sort of lean more towards the quote-unquote American fruity, juicy hops on it.
But we got Sriracha Ace on there now,
which is fun.
Super lemony, like
lemon
perfect
dill,
for summer.
Herbal flavor. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. Unicycle is usually in the top 5 to 6 on what we sell in-house. Okay. It's that, hey, I love Sierra. Here you go.
Middle of the road.
If we didn't have the Pilsner on, it would be higher because when someone comes in and goes, hey, sure, I want this crisp, blah, 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 and we don't have a Pilsner, Unicycle in a heartbeat.
You know, okay.
Honestly, our Pilsner and Unicycle are probably the same bitterness, aren't they?
You're 35 on Unicycle.
36, there you go.
Yeah.
So, like, classic beer drinkers are going to drink those beers. Mm-hmm. It's something that's familiar. It tastes, you know, Sierra-ish. Sierra Nevada-ish. That's sort of classic beer, or the same with the pills. So
in these uncertain times.
Oh, stop.
What strategy going forward? What's the fall looking like for you guys? What are you focused on?
We don't know. So what?
Isn't that a great feeling?
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, the interesting thing is that we've never known with any of this because, you know, like you guys were saying earlier, the model was sort of a diversified portfolio, a little bit in the tap room. Then it became, hey, look, drive. You know, things started to just seem like
drive people here.
Tap room. Go to the source, and then everything got turned on its head. And so, folks, the flavors as of late has been new. So that's sort of been our game plan with a lot of this stuff, but we can't brew 15-barrel batches of new in-house and sell all that draft in-house or two accounts because there's a very limited number.
Right.
So we're just trying to stay flexible, fluid. You know, hopefully as the production facility comes online, we can switch the size of fermenters in-house, do more small batch stuff so we can increase variety but not have so much beer that it goes to waste. We're still keeping our beer very fresh. That's always been so important to us. And one of the things that was, you know, when folks were like, after COVID sort of, after quarantine proper, like in phase two, hey, come taste our beer. Is it going to be good? Well, it's like, well, you got fresh beer out of the gates. Like, it wasn't sitting around in a warehouse. It went right to your place out of there.
Yeah.
We'll come clean your lines and test the beer.
Yeah.
It's still fresh, you know, 2 months old, tasted fresh, delicious. If it didn't, we had no issues with it, to be honest. Everything tasted super fresh. So, you know, we've kept inventory. Well, actually, we've brewed as much beer as we possibly can. That's just sort of where we are. The new facility sort of changed that. But the pivot's new, fresh, keep it going. The fall, we're like...
Now, I'm guessing the new facility was in planning before all of this started.
Correct.
Happening,
yeah, it's been in planning for 100 years.
Okay. And you.
Now, those are COVID years, so it's actually like
it's
4
only like
years,
3 weeks.
Yeah.
But I guess at least you'll be prepared when things start to go back to relative normalcy.
We hope.
You hope,
I mean,
right?
There's so many new factors coming on. You know, economic, you know, health, all these things that are what's going to happen with COVID. We don't know. We're just trying to, you know, keep our everything as low to the ground as possible, be ready to pivot again if we have to.
Yeah.
I think one thing that Adam didn't mention about keeping everything fresh for the fall is we're starting to keg off some of the beers that we're canning. So we'll keg off a few kegs for in-house. Mm-hmm. That way we're able to keep it fresh in-house and we've got the cans. And, you know, it serves a dual purpose of, hey, try this.
You liked it here. Take it home with you.
Right.
Yeah, that works.
Or see it in the store, you know. So that way we don't have to do 15 barrels of everything and, you know, it's sitting around. We do 4 or 5 kegs and, you know, maybe 1 or 2 go to customers or 6 stools and then the rest we do in-house. So
as opposed to before where we would do two batches. So we do a full batch for canning and a full batch for draft. Mm-hmm. And with the demand of draft being just a few places in town that are able to carry beer, and in-house with the demand being down because of just capacity issues, this makes more sense. It also, like on something like the Pilsner, means that what goes into the can, if there's some little bit of cloud in the beginning, it goes in the keg, you know, with us not filtering, goes in the keg, has
let
time
it settle
to settle
in the
out,
keg.
And then
it
goes in the can, and it's super bright, super clear.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for letting us hang out. And
thanks for coming.
Thanks
for the
all these goodies. It's
thanks for the
stuff.
Catharsis.
We just miss seeing fellow brewers and,
beer
cohorts.
So. But isn't that the crazy thing, though?
I was going to say, how do you collab now?
We never collabed a lot.
Well, I guess you never really did. But if you're going to do something like that, how do you even do that now?
Yeah. Well, you know, for us with the collaboration thing, it was always capacity. And that's one of the things that we were hoping that we could do more of with the new facility.
True.
Is that, you know, it's a 20-barrel, three-vessel system. We can do 20,000 barrels out of that place if we ran the stainless right.
Sure.
So there's a huge amount of capacity there. So though, it's like we're making our beers and they're moving at a good rate. It's been very difficult. We've done a number of collabs, but not like other local breweries that just
from an objective third party, I just view collabs as an excuse to get everybody in the same room and get drunk
and spend a lot more money on beer than
you need excuses for that.
Yeah, that's true.
Spend a lot more on a batch than you ordinarily would.
We're secure in our drinking habits.
You're not in everybody's face during a collab anyway, so I think you can socially distance and be in the same room.
And you know, you jokingly say we never really did collabs, but you guys did one of the most important collaborative efforts, I think, with local Triangle breweries. You know, we couldn't do it this year. You know, Casks on Fools.
Yeah.
Where you'd have everybody down, and it was a charity thing. And like,
we still haven't canceled it.
Good to know.
We're still holding the torch for
Rewind.
December 31st.
Yeah, all right.
But you know, like, those things are really important, and you guys from year one, I should say, have really done a lot to get everybody together and in the spirit of just friendship and good camaraderie, and that was always a fun event.
Yeah, it's really was sad. I mean, it was right on the verge of having Cast on. We were on the verge of having Cast on Fools this year.
Two weeks away, right?
It was. And we're like, oh, well, we'll just push it a month because this is going to be all over in 30 days, right? Because that's sort of what the general idea was. We're gonna quarantine, and this is going to go away. No one knew. And then we just kept pushing it. And that's the thing. We're hoping, you know, honestly, the glasses are already printed. So if it's happening next year, it's going to say 2020 on it. And that's the commemorative. And guess what?
Yeah,
It's April Fool's. There you go.
We'll take some
white out and just put a one on there and 2020.
It's a little commemorative. That's all. No big deal.
So, but the idea was bringing, you know, the brewing community together. It's not about us, about everybody else. It is a good time. We're showcasing the brewers for the brewers, and then
for charity,
and then the community gets to come in and try some crazy stuff.
Really crazy stuff. Some of it's really great. Some of it's terrible. Doesn't matter.
But that's
fun.
The great thing about trying different stuff. You know, that's the great thing about trying, you know, different things.
Sure.
Some of it's
for an event like that, like people know, they're like, oh, let's go try this. Don't try that one. Don't try that one again.
Terrible 2 years in a row.
It was like the When they had Black Friday cask.
Yeah, of the triangle.
I did one with mushrooms. And, I don't know.
It was the gravy brown,
okay.
Right?
It was gravy, gravy brown ale. Interesting.
Yeah.
Why not?
We didn't put steak knives in our stout, Sean.
I remember steak knives.
All right, again, thanks for letting us hang out.
Thanks, guys.
Glad you guys have been able to find multiple pivots in the last 4 months. And we'll have to check in a little bit later on and see where we are if we ever get to phase three. We'll see.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
If you missed any of our other podcasts as we've been traveling around and going to breweries, it's all available on the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. So go check that out. 5 stars only. This one should get 5 stars because Wayne's
not here.
This
one's going to get
like 6 stars.
Yeah. 6 out of 5 stars would recommend.
Would listen again. So it's all good. What do we got coming up next week? A little delayed next week.
We're going to be delayed by 1 day. We are going to be back to actually on Thursdays.
Yeah.
Maybe we go back to Thursdays or even Fridays.
My radio consultant meetings have taken over my life.
Taken over on Thursdays. Okay. But next Thursday we can do.
Okay.
Yes, you said that?
Yes, next Thursday.
It looks like probably at Carolina Brewing Company.
Ooh, okay.
Talking about their 25 years in the business.
What?
Man.
What?
25th anniversary.
Yeah. All right, well, be on the lookout for that next week. We'll see you all then.
Cheers.
You've been listening to the 919 Beer Podcast with hosts Joe Ovius, Adam Eshbaugh, and Wayne Holt. Don't forget, there are many ways you can listen to this podcast, including streaming at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app. And you can also subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, and TuneIn. This podcast also airs Saturday mornings at 8 on Buzz Sports Radio. Thanks again for listening to the 919 Beer Podcast.